Thank you for reminding. So we start with a chant. And today we chant, let nothing disturb you, nothing afraid you. All things will pass, but God changes not. That's the chant of Saint Teresa of Avila. You can sit up straight with a straight spine, close your eyes, with the gaze upward, to try to go inside your heart. And first, when you know the chant, you can right away follow with me, and after a little while, also those who don't know it. Let nothing disturb you, nothing affright you, all things will pass, but God changes not. Patient endurance brings you to victory, once you have God, you want nothing more. God alone, God alone is all that we need. God alone, God alone is all that we need. Let nothing disturb you, nothing affright you, all things will pass, but God changes not. Patient endurance brings you to victory, once you have God, you want nothing more. God alone, God alone is all that we need. God alone, God alone is all that we need. Let nothing disturb you, nothing affright you, all things will pass, but God changes not. Patient endurance brings you to victory, once you have God, you want nothing more. God alone, God alone is all that we need. God alone, God alone is all that we need. For a little while, continue mentally to chant. Let nothing disturb you, nothing afraid you. All things will pass, but God changes not. Patient endurance brings us to victory. Once we have God, we want nothing more. Feel these words in your heart, the effect on your mind, on your consciousness. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Slowly we can open our eyes again. It's a very beautiful chant, isn't it? If we only every time when we have some challenges, we remember to chant this song, it will be immediately different. The last week's class we dedicated very much to the power of our mind, our thoughts, and then vairagya or detachment. Be able to detach, because to work with life's challenges or with our karma, what we have, we can have a lot of energy, like little children have a lot of energy, isn't it? But they don't have control over it. They are not able to work correctly with that energy. they have a lot of energy, whoops, and they lose a lot of energy, and then they sleep very nicely for many, many hours. And so the primary tool we need to develop is detachment, that we worked last week with it, to be detached from entanglements with the world, entanglements with our actions, our mind, our emotions, our feelings, and only then we can truly work with energy. Okay? Is that right? Because one sees a lot of people have a lot of energy. They have a lot of strength. They have a lot of power. But they don't use it correctly. And we see it also in our political world, everywhere, in every country. A lot of them, they have a lot of energy, they have a lot of power, but how do they use it? So it's very important first working with this entanglement, becoming detached, because that calms citta, that calms our vortexes of restlessness, vortexes of emotions. And then we can really start to work with tools, because only when our emotions, when our citta is calm, when we are detached, we become aware where the energy flows to. Okay? Only then we become aware if the energy goes downward, outward, or if the energy goes inward, upward. For that we need detachment, awareness, and focus. And today's class is primarily on, we will do several exercises. As I said, we start with the superconscious living exercises. Then we do two exercises from Master, which maybe a few of you don't know yet. He has a lot of exercises. I always love to go to the preceptor lessons and Yogoda lessons and all his teachings, original teachings from Master. And so we will work a little bit with really raising the energy and then observing it, feeling where does it go to, where does the energy flow to. And then we will use pranayama, we will use bandhas, specifically the mula bandha, for really not allowing the dissipation of life force of energy. Okay? And that is an incredible powerful tool what we have of working really, because everyday's challenges or life's challenges, how one can call it, or opportunities, it's much easier to face with detachment, strong inner centered energy, then there are not many problems in a certain way. Okay? Because when we are really in our inner center is the center of our security. It's the center of our soul, that connection with our true self. There is then no fear, there is then no anger. The emotions cease to exist when we get to the center of our soul. Okay? And that is when we start to work with energy. So today's class is really about raising the energy and then feeling it, becoming aware, and then really direct it. Next week's class, we will go still much, much deeper and work again more specifically with different situations in our life with the energy. Again, a lot with pranayamas. Okay? Let's begin with first, as Swamiji said, superconscious living exercises. They bring us in connection with with the qualities of our true self. The first thing is marching in place, moving the body, so the circulation is starting to flow. Don't forget to smile. Prana doesn't like to go into a body who is always grumpy. So smile at Prana. And how we are now? How is everybody? You didn't convince me. I'm awake and ready. 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 Very good. Now, how do you want to be for the rest of your life? That and also the next one. We want to be positive, energetic, enthusiastic. I'm positive, energetic, enthusiastic. I'm positive, energetic, enthusiastic. I'm positive, energetic, enthusiastic. I'm positive, energetic, enthusiastic. Perfect. How do you feel now? Can you feel a change of energy, a change of state of awareness? Now the next one, we want to awaken also our body cells. The master. I forgot. First is this one. What do we want to become in this lifetime? What do you want to become? Yes. I'm master of my body. I'm master of myself. I'm master of my body. I'm master of myself. I'm master of my body. I'm master of myself. And now the shower of energy for the cells. Awake, rejoice, my body cells. Awake, rejoice, my body cells. Awake, rejoice, my body cells. Very good. Who does this exercise in the shower? The morning time when you have your shower? No. Can you feel now the energy? Try to do this exercise under the shower. It's so vitalizing. Okay, right in the morning time, then you get up and you go under the shower. Now we go to the next one. Oops, I have my glasses. Only that awake, rejoice my body cells. So when you have the shower, you do it with that, with the running water, which is a very powerful energy, and you will feel really the prana flowing. Okay. Now let's go to our head. Remember, our heads are not raw eggs, so we really can knock on it. They're quite hard. Be glad, my brain, be wise and strong. Be glad, my brain, be wise and strong. Be glad, my brain, be wise and strong. Now let's awaken our children. We have a few naughty children in there, a few sleepy children. It's all our thoughts. Awake, my sleeping children, wake. Awake, my sleeping children, wake. Perfect. Now inhale. Double inhale up. Inhale up. Going up onto your toes. And again. Perfect. Now let's sit back. And feel inside you. How do you feel now? Much more awake, isn't it? Exactly, because we really connected. All these affirmations, they are the natural state of the soul. And then with the body movement, we connected in a certain way that it becomes more powerful. Now we do two more exercises by Master. So sit a little bit in the front.
With inhaling, bring your hands up. With the really focus, the fingers are a little bit open. You can close your eyes, the gaze upwards. Now feel all of your fingers directly connected with the ocean of cosmic consciousness, of cosmic energy. Feel your fingers drawing that energy into your spine, into the medulla oblongata, into your brain. A powerful flow. Now, inhale deep, very long and deep inhaling. Inhale. Inhaling light and prana through your fingers. Focus on the spiritual eye. Now hold for a count of 14. And slowly exhale and bring your hands down, relaxing down with exhaling, but immediately going back to the spiritual eye. Do a few deep breaths through the spiritual eye, like breathing through the spiritual eye. And now again, bring your arms, hands up. We do that 3 times. With the fingers a little bit open, again, feel, if you need to, visualize energy, light, life force entering through your fingers into your body, into the medulla oblongata, drawing infinite cosmic energy into your body. Again, with the next inhaling, focus more on really drawing life force into the medulla oblongata, the spine, the head, through your fingers. Inhale. Hold your breath. Focus on the spiritual eye, on the life force in the spiritual eye. And slowly exhale, remaining in the spiritual eye and relaxing your hands down. Again, do 2 or 3 breaths through the spiritual eye, like breathing through the spiritual eye. Feel the energy, feel the life force. And we do it one more time. Bring your hands up, relaxing your shoulders. Focus in your fingers. Maybe now already you can feel prana, the vibration in your fingertips. Consciously drawing life force and light. Inhale deep, and with the inhaling, draw life force into your medulla oblongata, the spine, the brain. Hold your breath, focusing in the spiritual eye, on energy and light. Exhale, remaining in the spiritual eye, but relaxing your hands down. With the palms facing upward. Focus on the spiritual eye. Do 2 or 3 breaths through the spiritual eye. And then for a moment feel. How does your body feel? How is your mind? How is your awareness? Can you feel like much more energy and
all this area. Perfect. How was it for you, Jyoti? How does your body feel now? Can you feel more energy in the mind? Perfect. How was it for you? And how was it for you?
A lot of energy on the upper part, and
yes,
the consciousness was mostly at the spiritual line.
Beautiful. Very beautiful.
I think the entire time the consciousness was there. I mean, the mind did not
wave. Yes. That is one of Master's exercises. What he also did, that is also for rejuvenating the body cells, rejuvenating the brain cells, the capacity of focus, of concentration, of memory. And that is one of the exercises. And also now the second exercises is again especially for the brain, and really uplifting the consciousness up to the spiritual eye. I show it first, how we do it, and then we do it together, okay? At the beginning, we bring the chin down the chest, so that is Jalandhara Bandha. And then we tense the whole throat, the throat, the neck, everything is very tense. And we vibrate, and then with the inhaling, we come up, but with tension, going a little bit back, then holding the breath, relaxing slowly down while we hold the breath, and then we exhale, but focusing in the spiritual eye. Was that clear? So we bring the chin. Always with tension. Yes. No, you relax. Again, first you go down, you tense the throat and the neck, everything is tense. With the inhaling, you come up, but it's like with resistance, with tension, that you're coming up and going a little bit back, holding the breath, but now relaxing. You relax completely forward while focused on the spiritual eye, and then you exhale. Yeah, when you're here, then you exhale, but always stay focused in the spiritual eye. It's also even like exhaling through the spiritual eye. Okay? Let's do that. We do that exercise 3 times. Before we do it, close a moment your eyes and observe your mind. Simply observing. Where is the consciousness, the awareness? And now, very gently bring the chin down the chest. Tense and vibrate the throat, the neck. And with the next inhaling, very slowly, with the inhaling, come up and slightly back. Now holding the breath, and very slowly, while holding the breath, relax down, and then focus on the spiritual eye, like exhaling through the spiritual eye. And with the next inhaling, again tense your throat, your neck. With the inhaling, slowly come up, a little bit back, hold the breath, vibrate the throat. Then very slowly, still holding the breath, relax forward and exhale through the spiritual eye. Again, tense, vibrate your throat, your neck, and with inhaling, very slowly come up.
hold the breath while still vibrating, and then gently come down, relaxing down, and exhale through the spiritual eye. And with the next inhaling, very relaxed, come back in the center. Focus on the spiritual eye and exhale through the spiritual eye. Again, breathe through the spiritual eye. It's like inhaling, exhaling through the spiritual eye. Now, how does your mind feel? How is your awareness? Try also to hear the sounds around you. Identify them, still with closed eyes. Then try to listen inside you. And whenever you feel, open your eyes. How was this exercise? Now we start here with you.
Yeah, it was draining. It was like draining, like a lot of energy. I mean, you can feel it like, it feels like you did 20 minutes of cardio.
Yeah, and it was all here. It was really energizing. At the higher chakras, the fifth chakra, the sixth chakra, and the medulla oblongata, which is the mouth of the life force and energy. So, how do you feel now, the energy level?
Mm-hmm. The whole energy is, as you said, in this energy chakras.
Yes. And how is the mind? Yes.
One question. So,
yes.
So, medulla oblongata, so what I learned in this workshop was that's where the ego sits.
Yep. So but that is also the mouth where the life force enters.
Okay.
Let's say because the medulla oblongata is part of the sixth chakra. And like here is more the expression of the divine soul, of our true self. And in the back is the expression of the pseudo, as Master called it often, pseudo soul or the ego. It's still part of the ego is part of the soul, but it's identified with matter, is identified with the personality, with the body, and with this life. The soul is totally free. And when we do these exercises, it brings all the energy to the aspect here of our true self, of our soul, and the energy enters much more through the medulla oblongata. Because the medulla oblongata is that point, it's controlled by the ego, so every time when we say, I don't like that, how do you feel? How do you feel when you say, oh, I don't like this, or I don't like him, I don't like her? What happens? Do you feel a lot of life force and energy, very energetic, when you have that no thought? No, it closes the medulla oblongata, that mouth, and not always, because without prana we cannot live, not even a second. So prana always enters, but it's diminished. When the ego becomes more sattvic, then the pranic energy is higher and higher and higher.
And like the medulla oblongata is directly connected with Ida and Pingala and with our physical breath. The Sushumna is not connected with the physical breath. And the Sushumna is not connected with the medulla oblongata. In that way, it goes straight through. So when we enter the Sushumna, there is no need of physical breath anymore, nothing. That is when the yogis enter the breathless state, and then they are sustained by direct cosmic energy, but through the Sushumna in that way. And that is, for example, great yogis, they can stay also months, like Sadhu Haridas. He was, I think, for 1 month or something, they kept him buried in the earth. Like after 1 month, normally a human being, of course, much less, is really dead, nothing. And the British people then, they took him back out from the coffin. They put Sadhu Haridas, because he said he can stay without breathing for a long time. And so at that time, the British in India, they wanted to test it. And they did it. And they put him in the earth. They had also guards there, so nothing. And then after 1 month, they took him out from the coffin, like a dead person who is nicely sealed into the coffin. No oxygen whatsoever can enter in there. After 1 month, they took the body out. It seemed like dead. But after a little while, he smiled and opened his eyes again. How is that possible? No breathing. Also, when Lahiri Mahashaya was testing his very proud medical student disciple, who said he knows exactly when somebody is alive or somebody is dead, that he was saying, okay, you know exactly who is alive and who is dead. He was twinkling at him, he was talking, he was standing right there in front. Of course, Lahiri Mahashaya is a great, great master, a divine incarnation. And so he came and said, okay, check. Pulse, no pulse. Heartbeat, no heartbeat. Breath, no breath. And Lahirichi was smiling at him and saying, now tell me, am I alive or am I dead? You can imagine how confused that medical student was after that. But that is when we are connected with the Sushumna. Did that become a little bit clearer with the medulla oblongata? So the medulla oblongata, also the life force who enters through the medulla oblongata, is primarily as long as we breathe, as long as there's a physical breath, because it's straightly connected with that, okay? And we gain life force, we gain energy from it. But more that we are detached, more that we are identified with our true self, even if there's still the physical breath present, we receive so much more energy. If there is not that me and mine, there are so many stories, also here from America, there's a story where a lady who they drove with an old lady. That was an old couple. And they had a flat tire, and they were in a little camion, in a little truck. They had a small little truck, and the husband was changing the tire, and the huge truck passed by, and the pressure of the wind put down the cricket, and the car went on to the husband. And that old lady went there and raised the car, the truck. How is that possible? From where did she receive the life force? From where did she receive that strength? That is because in that moment she didn't think, oh, I'm only a human being, I cannot do that. Her only thought was, I have to save my husband. That was all.
She didn't think of herself, not even a little bit. And prana could flow into the medulla oblongata unlimited. Flow of prana. Okay? So God somehow did it quite tricky, that he put the ego there at the entrance of life force for the human body. Clear? So more that one is detached, more that one is not identified with the little self, with the little ego, more we will have life force and energy. Like when we do that, I'm master of my body, I'm master of myself. Being master of our little self is the primary goal. Nearly everybody, when you have some little aches in the body, what happens? Oh, I'm not well. All this affirmation with the identification of the body, okay? So that means that the body is the master and not we. Or when the ego says, oh, it's so hard. My colleague is treating me so badly. He's so terrible. I cannot stand him. Are we master? Who is the master inside us? The ego, not we. Because our true self is the soul, the divine soul inside. But so every time we have identifications, the body becomes the master, the mind becomes the master, citta becomes the master, and what are we? Slaves. To the fluctuations of our emotions, of our ego. And when we and all these techniques, what we do, for that reason I said the primary aspect is vairagya, is practicing detachment, because only then we can begin of having control over the life force. As long we have attachments, as long citta is active, we cannot control the life force, and we will always lose. We can do also 10 times the energization exercises of master per day. If we still allow emotions to get hold of us, we will waste all that energy, all that life force. Okay? So they go hand in hand, doing like raising the level of energy, but then also controlling. Now we do another exercise. And that comes in now also with the bandhas. Sitting up straight. Try now with your hands to do prana mudra. That is a mudra with the hands which allows us to feel more the life force. It's called prana mudra. It's the symbol of prana. So it simply activates more our perception of the pranic flow inside our body. And that mudra is the little finger, ring finger, in together with the thumb, index finger and middle finger are straight. Like this. Those who come to many classes, they know it already. Now for a moment, sit up very straight, open, chest is nice and open, gaze upward. First begin to feel, concentrate in your spine. Try to feel the energy flow. Where does the energy flow when you inhale? Where do you perceive it? Where do you feel the exhaling? Tune in to your spine. Go into the center of your spine. Feel that subtle current. What kind of movement do you feel with the inhaling in your spine? What kind of movement do you feel with the exhaling? Observe that flow in the spine. Now think of something worldly, like maybe an attachment to your house, to the place where you live. the physical place. Now with the exhaling, observe where does the energy flow. Thinking of something material. Where does the energy flow to? With the exhaling. To a few deep breaths, but be completely aware where the energy goes with the exhaling. And you focus on the attachment of your physical home. Our true home is only in God. It's not in an apartment, it's not in a house. Observe the energy. Now, focus at the base of the spine. And from the pelvic region, in the center of the pelvic region, now draw in and up. It's like you are tensing the center of your pelvic region. It's like you're closing it. Now inhale deep, going up. Hold your breath. Create a stronger lock at the base of the spine. Stay in the spiritual eye. Now exhale while still holding in a gentle way the lock. Where does the energy flow now? Now relax and release and feel. Again, inhale in the spine up. On the left side, go up. Hold the breath in the spiritual eye. Again, create a lock, Mula Bandha, drawing all your pelvic region in the center upward and closing it. Exhale while still holding. And at the end, relax and immediately focus into your spiritual eye. We do it one more time. Inhale, going up on the left side of your spine to the spiritual eye. Mula Bandha, close, create the locket, holding the breath and the spiritual eye. And very slowly now exhale, still holding the lock. And at the end of the exhaling, relax and release. And focus in the spiritual eye. Now, create a very gentle, it's more mental, Mula Bandha. So you contract only very lightly. But you focus on really like creating a lock, closing at the base of the spine. Do a few deep breaths. Be focused in your spine. And now again, focus, where does the energy go to? While still holding the very subtle lock at the base. Now think of Master, Divine Mother, or whomever divine you love, while remaining in your spine. Where does the energy flow to now when you exhale? Maybe you also want to stay simply then in that breathless state in Kumbhaka after exhaling in the spiritual eye. Let the breath flow naturally, but you are very aware, still holding the very gentle Mula Bandha, very subtle, without physical force, only with a slight contraction. Feel the flow of breath and energy. And then release, relax completely. Whenever you feel, open your eyes again. What do you feel now? Yes. When do you feel more energy? Were you aware before when you were thinking maybe of your apartment, your house or something? Where did it go? But the awareness is so important. Where it goes to. And then when we use the Mula Bandha, and at the end, of course, the focus on Master, on the Divine. And where was then the energy? Could you feel then with every breath that it was like you were gaining more and more and more energy? If you do 10, 15 breaths in that way, how much energy will you have? How was it for you? How was that feeling? Was it like a focused energy flow or was it like dissipation?
Dissipation of the energy to the
ground.
To the attachment.
Yeah.
But with the Mula Bandha, you could feel that the energy is not going. It is not going out. It's all within, like whatever the energy we are experiencing and getting.
Yeah. Perfect. How do you feel now?
Feels like I'm the master of my body.
And especially of the mind. Okay, but can you feel now how calm the mind is? Mm-hmm. And much more centered. How was it for you?
Definitely not the same as everybody else is talking about. So my mind is calm.
Yeah. Yes.
In doing the Mula Bandha, my inhale cuts off right here.
Oh, then you were too strong.
So
you were not only at the base, you were contracting also here.
This is something I work with anyway, so it's not unusual, but it's more pronounced when doing the Mula Bandha.
Yeah. When you did it subtle, how was it when you did the Mula Bandha subtle? Yeah.
And that it went all the way down. I didn't feel it was dissipating like gold.
Yeah.
I felt it was like now I could breathe. When I thought about an attachment,
yeah,
I was very happy. Others would say you had all this dissipation and everything went out. No, I felt wonderful. It felt great. I loved my home. And I had that moment where I just had a visualization. And I could feel the breath was but then it was, of course, even sweeter than to think of Master at this point. And I could see with practice how this would begin to work.
Yes.
So, yeah.
It's like when Master, also the ancient scriptures of India, when they say that the nectar at the beginning, it's like poison. Yeah, nectar, the divine nectar. Like when you go inside, at the beginning it feels like poison, but then it becomes sweet. And when attachments, they feel like sugar, very sweet, but they become poison.
afterwards.
Well,
okay?
It's very tricky. Because you can enjoy a connection to something without it being a poisonous attachment.
Exactly. But it's beautiful that you experience that, because that is what every human being is experiencing. It's the feel joy when you have a beautiful home. Oh, you love it. It's so beautiful. You have a beautiful husband. There's the joy in it. People are very happy if they have it as they like. But what happens? A huge earthquake comes, destroys everything. And nothing is left. What happens to that joy?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I just think it's a little too black and white for me. The way you're describing it, it's either this or that. Whereas I see it as not an attachment to the things of my home, but that it brings joy.
Yeah. Now, there maybe I can mention a little bit like Swamiji. Swamiji, he loved his home like in Ananda Sisi. And incredibly beautiful. So still, with that most amazing sunrise and sunsets. All totally nature. Up on the hill, you could see all the valleys. He could see Monte Subasio. Really beautiful. But, so he enjoyed it. But when he left for America, he left for India. In India, at the beginning, he was in the most incredible, noisy places. He was happy in the same way. So there was no attachment. And that is the key. One can enjoy things, but without any kind of attachment. So also when, like Swamiji often, he said to us, he said, in case, like what happened also at the village when everything burned down, Swamiji was in the same way happy as before when he had the things. There was no difference. Not at all. Not even a tiny flicker of displeasure in Swami. Okay? So it was all the same. So it's that, but usually when with the worldly sense of attachment, energy goes to the Kundalini energy reservoir, and it nurtures the Kundalini reservoir, which binds us to the world, which binds us to the material plane. That is the feeling of dissipation. Okay? And the energy goes down. Normally, and that is also, especially also like for Kriya Bands, but it's for everyone, it's with the exhaling that we can enter the Sushumna. With the exhaling that we go in and up. Okay? So it depends. With the inhaling you go up, and then with that exhaling, from that moment, you enter the Sushumna and then you go up. But most of the people, the exhaling is connected with illusion or with duality. So it gets dissipated. It gets lost. Okay? There is, when with the Banda, I remember also like with Gyandev when we did Advanced Pranayama, because Master said, everybody of the teachers says that the goal of Pranayama is breathlessness. But the breathlessness comes after the exhaling. At the beginning of the simple.
Like that pause.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when you bring all your concentration here, like what I said with the as soon as you finish exhaling, have all your concentration here. Because then the last part of that exhaling is brought immediately up. It doesn't dissipate, it doesn't nurture the kundalini. Is that understandable? You focus here. Yes. Very powerfully up. Okay? Is that clear?
Is that why was it in autobiography, you know, like Master was saying, just keep your
right Master spiritual eye. Mm-hmm. Yes. With every breath, within every activity, we should keep our concentration here. You have challenges with people. It's dried out because the most beautiful thing is what, like the tools what we have, then really to apply them. Very often also when one has discussions or with a relative or other things, that Divine Mother loves to test us. Okay? Also our patience sometimes with others. Try when, for example, somebody is really irritated with you. Focus on the spiritual eye. Of that person. Yep. And because when you focus from here, you look at the spiritual eye, not in the physical eyes. You magnetize their consciousness to go get here. Because you focus here in the other person, automatically the energy goes up, rises. Swamiji, that's what he always did. He didn't look in the physical eyes. So when we were in his presence very quietly and he looked at us, you felt an upliftment. It's also because he automatically is stimulating that center. Try it out with others. And you will feel, you will see a difference. After a little while, they will respond very differently. It's the magnetism. Okay? So yes, right after exhaling, focus here. Master said the whole day. You can be focused on the spiritual eye.
No, I mean the banda.
For example, when you are driving or when you are engaged, outwardly engaged, I wouldn't do it. Like with driving, no. Because it brings me too much into my spine and upward. So with driving, I want to be right there. Okay? It's like you don't do Hong So while you're driving. Because you wouldn't drive for a long time. And it could be a little bit painful for others. Not only for yourself, but also for others. Okay? But when you're in the office, when you're active, when you're cooking, anything, any normal activity, try it out. But especially when there are challenges, when there are moments of difficulties. And the biggest challenge, the biggest enemy is our own mind. Master always says, circumstances are neutral. It's our response to them which makes the difference. Okay? And when we are in our spine, when we don't allow the energy to dissipate, the pranic energy to dissipate, the mind cannot really get negative. It's not possible. Yeah.
I felt it was somewhere maybe to the heart, but it didn't go
further. We talk now a little bit about that too. So we stopped here with the experience. How was your experience of the whole exercise, what we did first, perceiving where the energy went with the attachment?
It was heavy and it just felt like a sinking. You know, it was here and here. I think I was more looking were in love with humor. So I could sense that, you know, it was going down. And when I had the lock, the bandha, I didn't feel it here, but then it was this force that, you know, did not let it go down. So I could just sense that it wasn't going down.
Yeah. And after a little while and afterwards, when you were focusing on Master, how did it feel then? He comes. And for how was it for you?
I was also not focusing on my feelings actually. It was, I was more on the trying to see which where the energy was going.
Yeah.
So that, with the attachment, it was very disciplined. But it was very obvious for me. Okay.
Yeah, but it's good to become aware of it.
Yeah.
What happens to the energy? Yeah.
But not, totally up, let's put it that way. It was somewhere inside, and so
here.
It started to feel more energy, but I also starting to feel that there was more, but it didn't have any place to go, kind of feeling. Do you know what I'm saying?
And we talk now about that, because that will be then the part where we will work much deeper next week class. Because how much do we still... Yeah, we don't have for today. What we did today is that we became aware how it is when the energy gets dissipated and when it flows. But again, we have one of our chakras which on a certain point we will feel more and more in our kriya. We will feel more and more because there we have the biggest quantity of blocks and vrittis. Which is the heart. Okay? The heart. So very often, energy cannot go beyond. Or for you, when you were doing that, you couldn't breathe. Heart chakra. The first chakra is directly connected with the fourth chakra, which is the heart. So they are directly connected. Attachments start here. Okay? But then it depends on which level our attachment. Attachments to people, to relationships, is more connected with the second chakra. But the starting point of attachment is the heart, is citta. Citta which gets activated, citta which creates then the ripples in the lake. And so the light of the soul cannot reflect itself anymore. Because as soon citta... That agitated energy gets activated inside us, the soul cannot reflect anymore. That is where then, like Master always said, it's like a razor's edge. God or the soul and the ego cannot walk together, cannot walk hand in hand. There's black and white in a certain way. It's the ego or it's the soul. Okay? They cannot walk. It's Kurukshetra or it's Dharmakshetra. Our body becomes Kurukshetra when it is ruled by desires, by pleasures, by worldly things. And it becomes Dharmakshetra when it is ruled by self-discipline. By detachment, when it's ruled by the soul. Okay? And so, with dealing with every life's opportunities, every day's opportunities, detachment is the first. Awareness of the life force, awareness of energy, raising the energy is the second. But then we raise the energy and we become aware of all the little vrittis from many, many lifetimes. Okay? Isn't it like that? So awareness brings us awareness. Oops, there's a little bit of work to do. Here's the most beautiful river. There's Mother Ganga is flowing, but there are a few rocks in Mother Ganga. In the river who block the free flow. Yeah? Yeah. Yes.
I just felt a little, you know, like there's so much energy. It's not like, I'm not saying positive or negative, too much of energy was causing a little bit of imbalance for me. Like I couldn't take, so could you just explain, is that what you're trying to say?
Spiritual energy is like unmoving. There's no physical. Master also said, just today I saw several phrases by Master from the Yogoda lessons. It's incredibly powerful about, I bring it next week, exactly that phrase of Master, is that as long as there's movement, physical movement, energetic movement, the energy is not completely in the center. Not in the center. Not completely. So there can be a lot of energy. Like you saw, so at the 50th anniversary, there was a lot of energy. There was a lot of energy moving. But how much could we be still in the movement? How much were we really in our center? Then you can use that energy. Or how much that all that powerful energy, also from others, from all around us, was influencing us and drawing us again out. So there can be a high, high, high level of energy. Also when you go up to Badrinath or to very holy places, you have a choice. You can walk, oh, it's so beautiful, here's the Nilkant, here's that. Your energy will be drawn out. You go to the Badrinath temple, which is amazing, and the bells and the ceremonies and people, your energy gets pulled out. Or you walk up down the Nilkant, you sit, you feel, you go within, in the inner silence, in the inner stillness. And you connect with that high energy, then you can feel it. And then you really can live it inside. So, when, especially when there's a lot of high energy, we have to be in our center, then we can use that energy. If not, it will. It's like when there's a strong wind. When you are strong, the wind is very enjoyable. If you are not centered, it can blow you away. Is that understandable?
So what practice could one do in a situation where it's high energy, but it's more of an interaction based?
Focus on the spine.
The spine.
Go inside, like what we did now. Observe for a moment. Also with eyes open, you can do that. There's Lahiri Mahashaya practiced a lot Shambhavi Mudra. Shambhavi Mudra, did anyone here hear that word? It's an autobiography of a yogi. It's that little tiny phrase is written in Bengali by Lahiri Mahashaya in the autobiography of a yogi. That's about Shambhavi Mudra. That's the fixed gaze where you have open eyes, but they are totally unmoving. They're not blinking. Fixed gaze, awareness of the breath. There can be as much movement around you, but you will be inside. You will be in the center of your soul. Okay? And Mulabandha helps you to be grounded. Grounded in the meaning of centered. Because it brings the energy in the center of your spine. It doesn't allow it to get dissipated. It brings you inside and it brings you up. Okay? Is that understandable? Questions? So next week we will work a little bit more again here, but we also with a lot of energy. We will do a lot of pranayamas next week. All the chakras are always active. They're not active. It depends in which direction the energy is flowing. We can sometimes block the energy flow in some chakras when we force something. For that reason, like also you can like block the energy flow of the second chakra when you force certain things, self-discipline like this, instead of transforming the energy, redirecting the energy. Okay? So we are not blocking energy, we are transforming. We are redirecting energy flow in the chakras. All the chakras are always active. And they are also needed. It's like the five Pandavas. The five Pandavas are the qualities. One can say the soul are the qualities which are connected with the soul, with Krishna. These are the five Pandavas, and that qualities, adherence to truth, staying away, having the power to stay away from negativity, duality, the power of self-control, one-pointed focus and concentration, the power of prana, of love, in the heart, and here the power of truth and dharma, Yudhishthira. Okay? So chakras are always active. It depends if you have the Kauravas active or if you have the Pandavas active, but they are always active. One or the other is always active. Or both together. Then it's the nice battle on Kurukshetra, where your positive tendencies fight a little bit the negative tendencies inside us. So they're always active. Other questions?
Yeah. I didn't know what to do with that energy. So this was perfect for
Yeah, it's always, Master always says. It's like we started today's class. Children have a lot of energy, but they don't know how to direct that energy. They don't know how to control that energy. Yeah. The Banda?
Yeah, we talked about it. But my point was, like I said, again, but it gets stuck somewhere, right? So isn't it better to just do like all of them in order to make sure that it opens up so that it goes?
No, you breathe. With Mula Banda, you simply lock below and then you remain in the spine, in the flow. And when you feel then some, like for you, you didn't feel it going up, but it goes up. So only it got a little bit does go up. Also, if you don't feel it, it goes up. Don't worry, because it has to go up here to the medulla and then back down. So that happens. Yeah, no, you simply do on a certain time.
I was feeling, I know you were saying that, some feel it to the top, and I couldn't.
Yeah, you could feel the energy, but not. Oh.
And so that's why I was wondering that, does it go in
the heart? No. Yep, the heart is one of the toughest. Because there is chitta. And we know. Also the chant of Sri Yukteswar, desire my great enemy with his soldiers surrounding me is giving me a lot of trouble, oh my Lord. And what says the Lord? Pranayama be your religion. Pranayama will be your salvation. So it's then to gain control over that life force, gaining control over chitta, or
Patanjali in the second sutra, Yoga Chitta Vritti Nirodha. We get to the state of yoga, of oneness, of union with the divine realization through the neutralization of citta. Again, here is the key. When we control that, when we neutralize citta, then we can experience and the divine. Okay? Very easy. But it takes a little practice in that way. And it's for everyone. Because we, the Divine Mother knows everyone's button. Where to push that citta gets activated. Okay? And it's until everything gets released, everything gets then controlled and directed upward, then citta gets neutralized. Okay? It's worth it. It's like a divine play, a divine lila with God. Hide and seek with God, or with the divine. Okay? I think with that, today's class, yeah, we finish. I hope you gained something, because these are all little tools, also that practice from Master. So these are new practices I try to write because it's got them just out from Master's teachings. And so maybe I can put a few little things together and give you handouts also next week. Okay? Let's sit up straight a moment. Close your eyes, the gaze upward. Now visualize planet Earth in front of you. Focus rays of love and peace radiating from your heart. Beautiful rays of light. First feel that peace and love in your heart and allow it to radiate. Now wrap your hands together. Hands are an extension of the heart. Concentrate on planet Earth, on Mother Earth and all her living beings and children. Sending light of peace and love. We chant three times Om. 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 I wish you all a beautiful week in your center, detached, calm, and joyful.
Thank you.
Thank you.